Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in the next few moments, I'm going to take a lot of time because I do want to pray, but I'd like to talk to you just briefly, and we have done a little series on Moses because I think there are a few people in the Bible like Moses who can teach us how to walk with God and to go deep with God. And so we looked at Moses. I want to talk to you tonight about understanding the ways of the Lord and the value of that, because I think there's a lot of people who see the works of the Lord, but they don't understand the ways of the Lord. And let me just say this, anytime we see the work of the Lord, and by that I mean all the healings we just read about, anytime we see a work of the Lord, it can be a healing that we see, it can be a provision in our life where we know it's an answer to prayer and God has done that. Whenever we see God do a work, it's an invitation for you and I to go deeper with Him. God is, through that, speaking to us and wanting us to understand how it is that He wants to work in our life and how He wants to work in general. And Moses is a very interesting study in how a person can not only experience more of God's presence in their life, but how they can grow in their knowledge of God. You know, a lot of times people talk about growing in their knowledge of the Word, and let me just say this, that is very important. My concern is, for a lot of Christians, they're more concerned about growing in their knowledge of the Word than they are in growing in their knowledge of the God of the Word. And we have to be careful about that. Because what happens when people grow in their knowledge of the Word but don't grow in their knowledge of the God whose Word it is, you end up having a person who has a form of godliness but no power. You have people who are, in my opinion, deeply in danger of spiritual pride. So what happens is love builds up, but Paul says knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And so when you have people that are full of knowledge, but they have not been able to translate it into a deeper walk with God, then their spiritual growth is short-circuited often by a smug, self-satisfied spiritual life, and their life is dominated by that. And they care more, and it almost becomes a competition, and they enter a service, and they're evaluating whether my understanding matches their understanding and whose understanding is better, and that's not the point of coming to church. The point of being in the presence of the Lord is that we might increasingly behold the glory of the Lord and know the Lord. And we've watched Moses, and God reveals Himself to Moses. The first message in the series, the three-part series, first message, God reveals Himself to Moses, and He does it by means of a supernatural phenomenon that happens in Moses' life. He sees a bush that's on fire, and it doesn't burn up. And Moses sees that for what it is. He draws near, and it's an invitation for Moses to know more of God. Listen, when God does something in your life, it is always so that you and I might go deeper in Him, not just so we can say, oh, guess what? I saw this. Well, good. I'm glad you saw that, but what did it do to your walk with God? Then we saw last time Moses began to develop the discipline of spending time with the Lord. And his habit was to have a tent that he set up outside the camp. So imagine you got 2 million people, and he's got to walk through that encampment of the people of Israel. And then he sets the tent up outside the camp. A Sabbath day journey, the Bible says, outside the camp. The rabbis said that would be our equivalent of about 5/8 of a mile. So he goes a half a mile, a little over outside the camp, and he goes and he meets with God. And when he goes to meet with God, it's interesting. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 9 says, as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down. So God doesn't come down until Moses sets aside the time to spend time with God. Which I think, again, is very instructive for us. You know, a lot of people want to be prompted to go into a time of prayer, but how about we discipline ourselves to go into a time of prayer and believe that when we take the time and make the time to be with God, God himself will appear. This is Moses' life. This is the way that he works. He spends time with God and God shows up. And through all of this, Moses begins to learn the ways of God. In Psalm 103, we read this, he made known his ways, that's God, made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Here's what's very interesting. The people of Israel, they saw the plagues in Egypt, they saw the Red Sea part, they saw water come from a rock that watered 2 million people, they saw manna, they saw quail come down, they see all these things God does, and so they have the recollection of the deeds of the Lord, they just never grew in their understanding of the ways of the Lord. And it's not because God does not want to reveal himself to people, it's they didn't take time. They were satisfied in what they saw God do and complained if they didn't see him do things. Moses, on the other hand, he spends time to understand who God is, what God is like, and that is a byproduct, I would suggest, of spending time with God. The more time you spend with him, and especially as you begin to reflect on what he's done and what he is saying to you and what he's inviting you into through what he's done. But it's time with God. I know this, Debbie and I, last week we celebrated on Wednesday our 43rd wedding anniversary. I just can't hardly believe it. Where is the time gone? I still feel like I'm 20 and I look in the mirror and I say, who's that old guy? Where'd you come from? Give him back. You know, you kind of feel that way, but I know Debbie's ways. I know what Debbie thinks. Many times, I can look at her face when we're in a room and somebody's talking, I look at her face, I can tell you exactly what she's thinking. I know how Debbie's gonna deal with the situation. I know the way she'll approach it. I know the way she'll resolve something. I know the way she'll handle something. Oftentimes, and I mean, it's not unique to us, but if you spend time with your mate and you have a lot of interaction with your mate, you come to a place where even like when we're driving down the road, it can be quiet and we're both thinking the same thing. And oftentimes we'll say the same thing. I know the ways of Debbie. And we've shared ministry together. I mean, we started out and as a youth pastor here in town, actually, and I was talking to the staff today and just recognizing that three of our staff, their parents were in my youth group. So you maybe didn't know that. But Eli's dad was a seventh grader in my youth group. Cameron Elmore, his wife Sierra, his dad, Alan, or her dad, Alan, was a seventh grader in my youth group. Ben Saban, who runs our online campus, he's our online campus pastor. His wife, her dad was, he and his brother were twins, were in our youth group. So our youth group had quite a few wild kids in it, and we took it and you know, at that time, it had probably around 30 kids, and so we decided we're gonna get all the kids, you know, we're gonna try to get all the kids that had been attending, weren't attending, to kind of jump back in. So we take the youth group in the summer, and I decide, you know, we're gonna do a float trip. That's what we're gonna do. And so so I have the kids sign up for the float trip, and I have over 100 kids sign up for a float trip. And, you know, I haven't even got my leadership core together. I haven't gotten anybody, you know, like all your sponsors to help you manage the kids. So it's pretty much Debbie and I and another two couples. And so we take these kids down to Dora, Missouri. Anybody know where Dora, Missouri is? You go down there. It's beautiful. It's a long ways. It's middle of nowhere. And so we're out there in the middle of nowhere. And you know, the kids had been, this particular youth group had been banned from most restaurants in South Springfield. They'd been banned, not under my leadership. And the previous leader was a very good leader, pastoring today, great pastor. So it just was what happened. So they'd been banned. They weren't allowed to go to youth convention. The district said, you guys, you can't even come to youth convention. So it's just that kind of group. So we get them out there in the woods and we have a bonfire and I preach, and I mean, they're burning their drugs in the fire. It's a good thing. You know, you got to start somewhere. Let's get rid of the drugs, right? So they're burning their marijuana and everything else, pills in the campfire. And so we have a time there. And then after that, you know, we have the girls over here, have the guys over there. The girls are in tents. The guys are sleeping out in the open. So I'm watching the kids, and some of them are sneaking off. And you know what kids are going to do when they're sneaking off. You know, it's not going to be good, any of it. But especially if it's guys and girls, it's not going to be good at all. And so I see that happening. And, you know, again, I'm 21 years old. I'm still in college. And so I know where they're headed. They're headed to the buses. And so I go up through the woods. I'm in the bus. It's dark. They get on the bus. I let them get established. And then I announce my presence. Marching back down to the campfire. We have another service of rededication. You know, so, I mean, we're chasing these kids around, you know, till like 2 a.m. And I think I've got them worn out. Time, you know, for everybody to lay down, and we're going to float the river the next morning at 6. So, you know, we get them all. And let me just put this disclaimer in. Our youth ministry is run way better than what I'm describing. So this has no reflection on James River Youth, which is 10 times the experience that I could offer. So anyway, I fall asleep. And one of the things that's true about me is when I sleep, I sleep. You know, you could have all kinds of noise and I'm asleep. So, you know, a year ago, before Savannah gets married, Debbie wakes me up, she shakes me. John, there's somebody in the house. I'm just trying to wake up. I'm like, no, there's not. She's like, yes, there is. There is somebody in the house. And so she's sure of it. And so Savannah's up, they've heard a noise. And so they want me to check it out. So I say, there's nobody in the house. So walk all over the house. Finally, I go in the little like powder room bathroom, and there's a picture that's fallen off the wall. And I'm like, okay, here it is. So, you know, but I'm a sound sleeper. That's the whole point of it. You know, I just, anything can happen. And I'm not going to wake up. So anything did happen while I was sleeping there at Dora. The guys went over, took the girls' tents down. They're running around. It's mayhem. Some of the kids are in the van. They're honking the horns. I am out. But Debbie's not. She's the sheriff. So she's making sure somehow there's law and order anyway. That's the start to our youth ministry and our ministry. And Debbie's still involved, and I'm grateful, and I know her ways. So I've used up my time telling you a story that doesn't really matter. So anyway, sometimes you just need to know, you know, you're like, where did he come from? That's where I came from. Okay. So when you understand the ways of God, there are some wonderful things that happen. First of all, you have friendship with God. And this is something God desires so much with us. In fact, I would suggest to you that the depth of your friendship, because a lot of times Christians will celebrate friendship with God, which we have as children of the King, but the depth of our friendship is what matters. And I would suggest to you that the depth of your friendship with the Lord can be measured by what you understand of the ways of the Lord. And let's just be honest, we have levels of friendship in our own life. We have friends that are really we're not any closer with than an acquaintance. And then we have friends that we've done some of life with. And then you have people that you would call maybe close friends, and then every now and then you have somebody that you'd call a best friend. Here's Moses, and I want you to notice this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So here's Moses, and he is regularly spending time with the Lord. This is why personal devotions are so important. You can't have relationship without time together. And if you want to draw close to the Lord, a part of drawing close to the Lord is not just doing it when you need him to do something for you, but doing it as a matter of regular time with him to build relationship with him so that you can learn more about him. The more you spend time with a person, the more you know about that person. God's desire is for you and us to have this friendship with him. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, "You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. He doesn't know his master's ways. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." This is a stunning statement. Jesus says, everything the Father taught me, that he has shown me, I have shown to you. I've let you know the ways of God. And the disciples spent so much time with Jesus that it was obvious that they had been with him. You remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when they're hauled in before the Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, they take note that these men had been with Jesus. They knew the ways of Jesus. They were not only doing the miracles, but they were preaching messages. When you and I know the way of the Lord, we become a friend with him, and the depth of our friendship is really best measured by how much we know about his ways. It's the second thing, that when you and I understand the ways of the Lord, there is a favor with God that is attendant upon our life. Because we understand what God blesses, what God notices, what God cares about, when you understand that, you take care of that, and if you don't, you're a fool. To know what would bring God's blessing on your life and to say, I'm not going to do the things that would do that, is foolish, is it not? God wants to bless people. That is without question. The issue is, will we put ourselves in a position where he can do what he desires to do? God loves everyone, but in some ways, not everybody knows his favor. Now look at it in Exodus 33 and verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you've also found favor in my sight." So God tells Moses, "You've got favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." What is this telling us? There's an increasing favor that God wants to bring into a person's life, and it comes when you and I know his ways. When you know his ways, there's favor, but there's always more of his ways to know, and the more you know about his ways, the more favor there is. That's what that verse is pointing to. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Listen, God's plan, God's desire, his desire for the nation of Israel was that the favor of God would so rest on them that the rest of the world would see it and would inquire, where did that favor come from? Can I just say to you, his plan for you and I is that his favor would so rest on our life that people would see it and from it discern the ways of God that they might too follow God. God's desire is that there would be a favor on your life, a supernatural presence that not only affects you internally, but affects your life externally, where there's a supernatural dimension to your life and a blessing of God on your life. In verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you've spoken, I will do, for you found favor in my sight. Moses says, I want more favor. And God says, great, I'm going to give you more favor. So five times in this passage, it talks about favor. And the most important thing you and I could ever have on our life is the favor of God, because that moves us from the best we can do to what only God can do. And so Moses is desirous of God's favor. And one of the things that leads him to God's favor is he has this face-to-face interaction with the Lord that brings about the favor of God on his life. So one of the reasons why we do the blessing at the end of the service on Sunday is I want the favor of God. I want to pastor a people who know God's favor. And whatever I can do as a pastor to facilitate the hand of the Lord on your life, I'm all about it. That's what the blessing is about. And in Numbers chapter 26 and verses 24 through 26, this is the more traditional recitation of that blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The idea is that when God's face is on you, his favor is on you. So when you're looking at God, he's looking at you, there is a favor that comes upon your life. When we say it, I say it in the NLT, because the New Living Translation, because I think it breaks it up and helps you understand what's happening. So we would say, the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. So may his face shine on you. May he smile. May the Lord turn his face toward you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Would you see, again, it's the idea of his face equals God's favor on your life. In Psalm 67, I think this is so interesting. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his favor shine on us. Listen, it's not selfish for a believer to desire the favor of God on their life. I would suggest it's one of the great ways to draw people who know him closer to him, and it's one of the great ways to cause people who don't know him to find him. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Stop and think about that. That your ways may be known on the earth. So that when people see the favor of God on you and I, then that favor's there because we know the ways of God, and now his ways, God wants the world to know. Oh, this is how God works. Not just God did that, but this is how God did it. This is why God did it. This is the reason behind what God has done. The ways of the Lord. Do you follow me on that? God wants us to know his ways. And when we do, there's friendship. When we do, there's favor. One last thing. When you and I do, there's faith to ask God for big things. Here's the thing. Once you and I know the ways of the Lord, the more you and I know about him, the more you understand. One of the things you know about him is there's nothing that's too difficult for him. There's nothing difficult. There's nothing easy for him, because he also has all power and he can do anything equally and effortlessly. I mean, nothing's impossible for him. He can do anything, and he can do anything easily. He says it and it's done. He speaks and the world's come into existence perfectly. So when you understand the ways of the Lord, instantly what happens is the more you understand his ways, the more readily you can believe him for things in your life that from a human vantage point could seem difficult. But because you know the ways of the Lord, you're like, well, that's nothing for God. Because I've seen him do this, I've seen him do this, and I understand his heart to do things in my life. For a lot of people, again, what the hang up is you're so condemned. You allow the enemy. You listen to the voice of the enemy. Why would God do that? He'd do that for him or her, but he's not going to do that for you. That's nonsense. That's the enemy talking. Or others of you are so in the presence of the Lord, you're so consumed with yourself that you're not looking to the Lord. And so if you're consumed with yourself or you're listening to the voice of the enemy, then all of that undermines the faith that brings about the answer. And this is why it's important to know the ways of the Lord in your life. In Exodus 33, the chapter before that obviously is chapter 32. And in that chapter, Moses is up on the mountain. And Moses, while he's up there, spends 40 days. The people build this golden calf. They're worshiping this calf. Moses comes down. God says, go down. The people have abandoned me. And Moses comes down there and he's seeing them worshiping this calf. And let's just understand, it's the calf is a fertility deity. So it is the most sensual, debauched kind of worship you could have going on. And the Levites, you remember, strap on their swords and begin to kill people. And I forget, it's 3,000 people are killed, something like that, to get a hold of the people. And so God says, in light of that, I don't think it's going to be good for you or me for me to go with you from here into the promised land. Look at it in verse 3. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I'm not going to travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would say, I would surely destroy you along the way. People heard these stern words. They went into mourning, stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you're a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you even for a moment, I would destroy you. So the Israelites repent, but God has said he wouldn't travel among them. But now here's Moses, and Moses knows the ways of God. Moses knows that when he knows enough about the Lord to know that he can have a conversation with the Lord and the Lord can do something different in this situation. I mean, that's great faith. And you can read it. Let's look at it just quickly. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I might know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. So he's saying, listen, don't forget about the people of Israel. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. But watch what Moses says. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us. God, listen, I know you said you're not going, but I understand who you are. And I'm asking you to do something different. And God said, I'll do it. It's very similar to Abraham, a friend of God. James 2 says, who goes to the Lord when God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom in Genesis 18. And Abraham knows the ways of the Lord. And he says, well, you know, you're the judge of all the earth and you're righteous. So what if there's 50 righteous people? I know you better than to believe that you're going to destroy 50 people, righteous people, along with the wicked. And God says, you're right. I won't do it. And then Moses says, well, what if there's 45? And what if there's 40? And what if there's 30? And what if there's 20? And what if there's 10? How can he do that? How can he have this kind of conversation? He understands the ways of the Lord. And all that just simply to say, when you understand the ways of the Lord, you're going to ask God for things that don't just concern yourself, because you know God's concerned about people. And it will help you. The more you know about his ways, the more confidence it will give you relative to the salvation of family members. The more confidence it will give you in relation to anything that you're ever going to ask God to do on behalf of others. And I would suggest to you, the more you're going to know about what God wants to do in your own life. And here's Moses. This is such an interesting request. This is stunning to me. So Moses is having this conversation with God. And Moses says this, show me your glory. I think it's in verse 18 there. Now show me your glory. This is interesting because Moses has been on the mountain now at this point, 80 days. 80 days. Went up 40 days, spent 40 days, comes down. People have rebelled. He goes back up on the mountain for another 40 days. And he's got 80 days in the presence of the Lord. And what does he ask? show me your glory. Wait a minute, the guy's face radiates the glory of God. He comes down off the mountain, his face is so bright they have to put a veil over his face because it literally blinds people, scares people. So here's a guy who has seen what nobody in human history outside of the Lord Jesus Christ has ever seen. I mean, John saw it in a vision, but Moses was actually on Mount Sinai. Angels are there. There's myriads of angels there. There's a meeting with he and the Lord and this interaction, and he's in the presence of the Lord. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink. He's spiritually sustained. He comes down. His face is glowing, and now all of a sudden he's saying, show me your glory. I mean, you would think God would say, what are you talking about? But when you know the ways of the Lord, here's one of the things you know. Whatever your best day was with him, that's not the best day that's possible with him. Whatever the best you've ever had is not the best it'll ever be. God always has more, and God delights in the request of the person who's audacious enough to say, God, I want to see more of you, more of your working, more of your power, more of your presence. I want to see it in the church. I want to see it in my home. I want to see it in my life. I want to feel it in my heart. God, I just want more of you. And here's what's so interesting. Watch what happens here. And the Lord said, I will cause. I mean, there's no debate there. It's not like, well, Moses, what do you mean? I've already shown you. No, he says, oh, you want to see more? Okay. This is the God who is happy to reveal himself to people if they really want him to do it. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to show you his ways. He wants to take you deeper in him. And you're here tonight because you want to go deeper in him. Isn't it awesome? The Lord said, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you. I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. So his glory is his goodness. His glory is his name. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. His glory is his mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. His glory is compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. What are we talking about here? This is the Father. He's seen in chapter 24 of Exodus, he's seen the Son of God pre-incarnate before he came to earth. He's had a dinner with the elders on Mount Sinai with the Lord Jesus. But this is the Father. No one can see the Father. No one has seen the Father, Jesus said. Moses, though, God says, the Father says, listen, I'm going to cover you with my hand. If you see my face, it'll kill you. But I'm going to cover you with my hand. And when I pass by, I'm going to take my hand away and you'll be able to see the back of me. Because you want to see my glory, I want you to see my glory. Isn't that amazing? When you know the ways of God, you have friendship, you have favor, and you have the faith to ask God for more. God wants you to have more of him than you could possibly imagine.